Oh Lord, my God, my Lord, my Savior, my King, I love you. I bless you. I magnify you. I adore you. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, God, for keeping me. Thank you, God, for loving us and keeping us. You brought us to this brand new year. You brought us over what was 2020 to this new year of 2021. And for that, we give you praise. For that, we give you glory. God, many didn't make it. Many that we know, many that we've loved, have lost so much, have lost loved ones, have lost friends and family and coworkers and jobs and responsibilities and things like that. But God, you kept us for a purpose. You kept us for a reason. And you kept us for that purpose, but for that reason alone, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We start this year out with a praise. We start this first Sunday of the year out with giving you honor and giving you thanks for taking us through 2020, taking us over the what was the year past, taking us to this point in of the pandemic. God, we don't see we're not out of the situation. We're not out of the pandemic, but we know are in the midst of the pandemic. You're still blessing. In the midst of death and destruction, you are still handing out blessings. In the midst of loss and of jobs, loss of income, loss of homes and relationships, you are still blessing. You are still handing out blessings to those you select, God. And we are grateful. We are gracious for everything you provided for us, everything you've given to us, everything you brought to us and brought us through. You've got that doesn't change. The God of yesterday, today, and forever. So the things that happened in the past, you are still God. The things that are happening now, you are still God. And the things that will happen in the future, you are still God of and Lord of it all. So we give everything over to you. We give our life. We give our responsibilities. We give our love. We give our jobs. We give our cares. Cast them all over to you because you are God that can handle it. You are the God of more than enough. God, we give you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise, God. As I get ready to prepare your word and to preach your word, I ask you to get me out of the way and I hide myself under your shadow of your wings of the Almighty God. Let your words fill my mouth, God. Let your thoughts fill my brain, Father God. Let everything that come out of me be Holy Spirit empowered and endued with the Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. Amen. God bless you and welcome City Reach, Burlington, and the world. Thank you for joining with us. And let me say Happy New Year. We have made it through 2020. We have made it through what was to what is to going to what will become. And before we even get started, let's all take a deep breath and pause. Inhale and exhale. Again, inhale and exhale. And let's start off with a praise. Let's start off with reflection of what was past and what God has brought us to this point of our year, this point of our life. If you look around to your left and to your right, many people that started out this past year are no longer here, wherever we might have, even jobs we might have lost or things like that. But we've also gained the insight of that God is still God. We've gained the insight of God is still handing out blessings. We gave the insight that God is still the God of miracles, the God of all good things, and no good thing would he withhold from his children, Father. So we just start this year out with a praise. We start this year out with worship of God that we made it through. We are one of the select. We are one of the ones that made it through. And because of that test of what happened in the past, we have overcome with a testimony of rejoicing, a testimony of that God has blessed us. We might have gotten sick. We might have gotten bit with the disease, but we made it through. Might be weaker or whatever, but we've made it through and God has brought us through. So Happy New Year. And let's start this year out right. Now, I like to go back every year at CRB, go back to the basics of who we are, what we do, and how we can grow together and how we can communicate together. But it all starts with a plan, because a man that doesn't plan is a man that just goes, you know, a man that fails a plan is a man that fails. And we are not failures. We either win or we learn. So we never lose. We got a plan. Our plan out the way that God wants us to go. And what else better plan that if we made plans throughout 2020. We've made even New Year's resolutions for 2021. I know for myself, I'm just going to do what God's called me to do. I forgot trying to make my plans out. I just do and consult God. And that's the best way you can start off. We can consult God. We'll see what his plans are for our lives. That's what he uses his gifts, like the prophets and the prophets, the ones that prophesy and the ones that hear from God directly for us and tell us what God has to for us throughout this year. Some people have heard from prophets. Some people have prophesied and some people have prophesied and came out of their own. But God's word always reigns true. It may not happen the way we think. It may not happen when we think, but his word always comes through. So we all should start out this new year, not with our plan, not with our goals, not with our agendas, but with God's plan. If you look in Proverbs 29 and 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. In the NIV version, it says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. And let's go to the Message version of that same scripture. I like this version. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. I'll read that again. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So a lot of times we tend to, if we don't see what God is doing, we don't tend to see what God is doing in our lives or what he has said for us or what he has desired for our plans. We actually stumble all over ourselves. We get in the way of God trying to do our way and try to do our plans. And we end up stumbling and tripping up over ourselves because we are in the way of God. We are in God's way, trying to do what God doesn't want us to do, or trying to go where God tells us not to go, or trying to say what God's telling us not to say when he tells us to shut up. And we end up tripping over ourselves and we stumbling and fall. And we take a step back. When we stumble and fall, we fall down and we have to get back up and get back over again. And sometimes we fall privately. And it's just, you know, between ourselves and we say, oh, man, I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. But sometimes we fall and stumble and fall publicly and make a spectacle of ourselves. So it should behoove us to always consult to see what God is doing so we don't make a spectacle of ourselves, tripping and stumbling over ourselves and over what God has called us for us to do. Make sense? You'll get that. I'll read that again. If people can't see what God is doing, you got to look and see what God is doing in our lives. You got to consult God. Consult those who have rule. Consult those who see what God is seeing or say what God is saying. We end up stumbling all over themselves. People that do that stumble over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, look at what he reveals. He might just show us in part and attend to that part that he shows you. And then after that, it comes a blessing because they are most blessed. And I call that the way of life. Every day we seek out the way of life, the way that God wants us to live, the way that God desires for us to live. He wants us to have life. He wants us to do things. He wants us to be a blessing. He wants to bless us to be a blessing. In Psalms, the 16th chapter, the 19th through the 11th verse, it says, no wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety. For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. Here it is. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. I read that last verse again. You will show me the way of life. If I look and see what you're doing and see what you're revealing, what you're going to show me is the way of life, the way to live, granting me the joy. I get the joy, have joy in your presence, because at your presence, all troubles may happen, but I still have joy even in the midst of trouble because I'm in your presence. Even when I'm at a loss, I'm still in your presence. I still have joy. Yes. Even when I'm falling, seems like I'm falling back or not getting ahead where everybody else seems to be getting ahead. But as long as I'm in your presence, I still have joy. It seems that I might be losing hope, or I might be losing loved ones, or I might be losing money or opportunity. But as long as I'm in your presence, I still have joy. And the joy that I have can't be gained by material things, can't be gained by jobs, can't be gained by relationships, can't be gained by money, can't be gained by the things that likes and tweets and things like that. But I have, as long as I am in your presence, I have your joy. And that means more than this whole world can give, because all this world can give is temporary. Temporary likes, temporary money. It's just everything. This is last for a short period of time. But as long as I in your presence, I have everlasting joy. Everlasting joy. John 10 and 10 says, here's the thing. So God, if he shows you the way of life, if you stay in his presence, he shows you the way of life, and you'll be in his presence. You will have his everlasting joy. But on the flip side, here comes that old devil. Here comes the enemy to kind of trip you up and kind of get you, and it comes to get you to curse yourself, or to get you to live beyond or live beneath your blessing, or live beneath your calling, or live you make you live in fear, make you live in lack, make you live in less than. John 10 and 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I came, this is Jesus talking, that they might have life and have it abundantly. The thief, the enemy, the serpent, Satan, comes to steal your life, steal your joy, steal your opportunity, to kill your dreams, kill your desire, even try to kill you, and destroy your reputation, destroy your name, destroy the reputation of the church, as it were. That's what he's trying to do. But I came, Jesus says, I came that you might have life, the way of life, and have it abundantly. And when you think of that word abundantly, abundantly means it's more than enough. It means more than enough means I get to share. I have abundant life. I have abundant blessings. I get to share because I have more than I need. I have abundance. I can give to others. I can give to, I can share with others. I can share with those that are in need, that are, those that I come across. I can share what God has blessed me with. He wants you to have that abundant life. He wants you to be able to share your life with others, because he's given you so much more. And when you realize this, the more you share, the more he blesses you. And then you get the more you share. So you get to bless, you get to share, you get to sow, you get to do those things, because God has granted you so much more that you have it over in abundance. There's a difference between having a living life in abundance and living life in excesses. Excessive. Excessive means, in my the dictionary of Keith Whaley, excessive means I just take in too much and I'm greedy and I just take it all in and I just have excessive this. I have more than I desire, and it just makes me look fat and greedy and stingy. But abundant means I get to bless. I have enough that I more than I can handle, but it's all in my attitude and my perception. Because a person that lives a life in abundance lives a life, has a perception of giving. Because a person that lives a life of abundance, I get to give. I get to give. That's their mindset. That's my mindset, is I get to give. I get the opportunity to share my life with others. I get the opportunity to share my resources with others. I get the opportunity to share my love with others. I get my opportunity to share my love with you. I get to give. That's an abundant attitude. That's abundant life that God wants us to live, to be able to get to give. Amen. So I said, we go back to the basics of how we like to grow each week or as we go along here at CRB. And I think all churches should kind of live this life this kind of way. But this is how I like to present how we do things. The way of life, it goes to the four different key points. To know God, to find freedom, to discover purpose, and to make a difference. That's what we want to do. We want to know God. Matthew 7, 21 to 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Whew. It's one thing to know somebody, but it's another for that person to know you. I can say that I know Mike Tyson, but if he doesn't know me, if I see him on the street, he's going to keep going because he doesn't know me. It's one thing to say I know Barack Obama, but if he doesn't know me, he's going to keep going and ignore me because he doesn't recognize me. Just like that. It's one to say the thing, I know God, I know Jesus because I know who he is or I know about him, but I don't know him personally. He's going to say to you, I don't know you. And I can do a lot of great things and promote. I could promote Mike Tyson, saying he's one of the greatest boxers. I could promote Barack Obama, say he's a good person, he's good president. I could promote Jesus and do great things for him. But that doesn't mean I have a relationship with him. I could promote my wife before I met her. She's a good person. But doesn't mean I have a relationship with her. So we want to get to the point where not only that we know who God is or know about God or know about Jesus, we want to get to the point where we know God in our personally, in a part of our sins. It's just like back in the day before Jesus came, they had the law and you had to know the law and you had to abide by the law. And it was so hard to do because it had so many laws that no one could know all of the law and abide by all of the law because we do so much that we sin all the time. And so Jesus came to a better way than just to have the law. He came to have a relationship. Religion comes to just show us what's wrong. But relationship is what Jesus came to do. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to know him personally. If anything else that this past year has shown you, that you need to know who God is. Yes. We've lost so much. We've gone through so much. And even those that have lost so much have had the opportunity to gain so much. I've heard stories of people starting businesses and starting new careers. And it's been the year of small business in 2020. Yes. And I believe that's the way God really wants things to do, to start out with the small businesses. I even further take to believe it started out with the small churches too. Because we all on the same playing field. That's right. You know, all of us are on the same playing field now. We can't really gather the way we really can or want to. That the big mega churches can't do that anymore. And if those that are breaking the law or whatever, and they're suffering consequences, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to talk anything about any church. You do what you want to do. That's on between you and God and the people that you serve, the people that you minister to. But maybe God wants us to do something different this year. Maybe God is shaping or leveling out the playing field because he wants intimacy. He wants us to know him. Not no church. Know God. Yes. And once we know God, we discover purpose and discover our purpose. We know that we are made for a purpose on purpose. We're here. We're not here by chance or circumstance. We are here for a reason. There's a reason why when God called our name, we were here to answer. Romans 12 and 4 through 6 says, "For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though all many, are all are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So let us use them. We all have a gift to give. We all have a job to do. We all have a reason to be here. There's nobody that's not here. There's nobody that's here just to be here. Everybody plays a part. Everybody's valuable. There's nobody greater than the other. We all have a reason to be here. Yes. You may not know what it is. That's fine. We could find out. We could work through that together. But the reason why you're looking at me right now, because I want to tell you, I'm here to tell you, you have a purpose. You're not just here by mistake. You're not just supposed to just go through life, going through the motions. You have an impact. You make an impact. You made an impact when you were born. So you are here to make an impact on this world, and you can do it. So we know God. We know that we have a purpose. We want to find our freedom. I skipped one. Sorry. We need to find freedom. James 5 and 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power, and it is working. When we say find freedom, what I mean by finding freedom, freedom of the cares of this world, or the cares of what you care about, or the cares of what you worry about. When we know God, we ask God into our, ask Christ into our hearts, and we receive forgiveness of our sins, and God forgives us, and He makes us clean. He makes us whole. So we are forgiven by God when we know God. By finding freedom, we forgive ourselves. A lot of times we don't do things because we hold ourselves down. I can't do that because I'm not equipped to do that. I can't say that because I can't. Who am I? I don't have what it takes to do that. Or I can't do that. I used to do this. I used to smoke. I used to drink. I can't, you know, I need help with that. Well, that's why we're here, to find freedom. I can't talk in front of people. I have a speech and I can't speak. I'm afraid of people. You find freedom. Freedom from yourself. Freedom from, God gives us freedom from our sins, or by knowing God. By finding freedom, we want freedom from ourselves and freedom from those things that hold us down, hold us back to do what God has called us to do. It may be like I'm an alcoholic and I need freedom. I need alcoholics and I need to be freed from that. I may be dependent on people. I may be dependent on relationships. I may be have a bad relationship with people. I need sex, and I get it from this person, that person, this person, that, but I'm addicted to whatever that's causing me downfall. I need freedom from that. God can do that. He cares not only about your soul, but He cares about you as well. I need freedom because I have an eating disorder. I like to eat too much, or I like to eat and binge. But God can free you from all of that. He cares about you as a person as much as He cares about your soul. So God wants you to find freedom so that you can be free to do what God has called you to do. And a lot of times, the things that we struggle with are going to be our greatest testimonies once we're cleared of it. You know, I've overcome low self-esteem, and now I can able, and although I may not have it all, but I can still communicate now. I can still have enough confidence in who God has made me to be able to talk to you. I may be a fearful, or I may be concerned about the way I look, or have a appearance problem. I don't think I look great. I think I'm ugly, or, you know, but God has given me confidence and left to know that in spite of how I feel about myself, God doesn't make junk. I'm a designer's original. I am who God created me to be. I am made on purpose. He made me look like this on purpose. He made you look like the way you do on purpose. Don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt the calling that God has called over your life. Don't doubt the person that God has made you to be. If we are created in God's image and God creates greatness, He looked at you when He created you and He says, it is good. So I want you to look at yourself in the mirror. Start out each day and say, God, I thank you for making me, and I thank you for making me good. And find freedom and just get that help. Sometimes you may not overcome right away. You can't overcome your testing or your struggles right away. It takes gradual work and gradual progress. That's okay. We keep going. We keep going. We win or we learn. We never lose. Sometimes it's a gradual process. Sometimes it's instantaneous and overnight. But sometimes it's the process that we produces the blessing. Sometimes the process produces the precious gems, the precious memories that we've overcome, that we have. That sometimes it's the process that produces the testimonies that we can live in. We can tell others about what God has brought us through. And people are watching. Sometimes, wow, he used to do that. He used to curse somebody out. But now he doesn't say that anymore or as much. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph. So we know God. We find freedom. We discover our purpose. And we want to make a difference. Mark 16 and 15 says, And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. We are here. We are called to make a difference in the world. I said this before. You have a purpose. You have a plan in your life. And your purpose is to make a difference to those that you come across either in your neighborhood, in your family, even in the whole world. We are called not just to be ourselves by ourselves. God didn't make us to be by ourselves. God made us to need each other and to others to need each other. And then we grow together. Amen. Amen. And it's not something that we do on our own. God doesn't put us up there to fail. He doesn't leave us by ourselves to figure out what God has called us to do. He gives us the Holy Spirit that can equip us, that can enlighten with us, that can communicate to us and to God through him. He can be our avenue. He can be our vessel. He can be everything that we need if we just allow him to lead us and to guide us into our ultimate purpose. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So here's the thing. God made a way for you before he made you. And all we need to do is to walk in the way that God made for you. And sometimes we don't see the way that God makes for us, and he's not showing to us because he doesn't want us to see the whole thing. He doesn't want to show it to us. He wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. So sometimes if he shows us where he's taking us, we won't go because we're afraid to go, because we self-sabotage. I can't do this. You want me to do what? Nah. You talking to me? Me? No. Yeah, I'm talking to you. So sometimes God doesn't show us the way, the whole big picture. He makes the way before we even were even born, before we even came to the way. All we need to do is to walk in the way that God has called us to do. You know, the steps, I said this before, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, right? It doesn't say that the seats of the good man are ordered by the Lord, or the thoughts of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He said the steps. You got to get up and move. You got to do something. Even if you don't feel like it, if you don't know what to do, do it unknowingly. Just do what God's called you to do. Even if you're afraid, do it afraid. Walk out, overcome your fear with faith. Overcome your doubt with determination. And know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. And he's just leading you along a path that he prepared before you even came along. Before your mother met your father, he prepared a path for you. And you need to walk into that path. And like I said before, he leaves us with the Holy Spirit. He never left us alone. When Jesus went to heaven, he left the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 and 8 says, but when you will receive power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So that means You'll be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and gives you power and strength and the ability and anointing to do what God has called you to do. You'll be a witness to in your local area, in Jerusalem. You'll be a area in your municipality in Judea. You'll be an area. You'll be a witness into your country, like in Samaria. And you'll be a witness into the ends of the earth. All the world will know about Jesus through you if you let him. Just walk your path. You are called to make a difference. Who, me? Yeah, you. Yeah. You're called to make a difference in my world, in your own personal world. Mark 5:19 says, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has mercy on you. This is something Jesus said to the man that was previously possessed with the legion of demons. He wanted to do God that once he got cleared of the demons and got free, and the demons ran into the pigs and they were cast and they fell into the sea and drowned. He wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus said, no, I don't need you to come with me. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell your story. What? Yep. Tell your story. Because even through your presence, it shows my power. Even when they see you, they'll see me that lives inside of you. So I want you to go home and tell your friends what I've done for you and what he's done for me and how he has shown mercy on you. Proverbs 3:27-29 says, in the Message version, it says, never walk away from someone who deserves help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. Don't tell your neighbor maybe some other time or try me tomorrow when the money is right there in your pocket. Don't figure out ways of taking advantage of your neighbor when he's sitting there trusting and unsuspecting. So that God tells you this. Never walk away from somebody who deserves help. Always being willing to help. Even if the little that you have is more than they do have. Even the little that you have is what somebody needs. Never pass up the opportunity to help somebody. Always never pass up the opportunity to do the right thing. Right? That's the first part. Also, in the last part, don't figure out ways of taking advantage of your neighbor. Always figure out ways to do the right thing, but don't do the wrong thing either. Don't take advantage of your neighbor. Don't take advantage of somebody that's sleeping on the corner. You're going to take what they're doing. Or don't take advantage of somebody that's falling asleep and you see a dollar on a table. You say, well, that must be a blessing from God because I left that dollar from me. You know, that's not your money. And somebody pick up, bless me with money and it's got credit cards. No, that's not your blessing. That's not your blessing. Don't take advantage of your neighbor because you want the same thing yourself, right? If you were to lose your phone or your wallet, you want somebody to return it to you with everything intact. So just think about that. They're not just a person, they're your neighbor. And think about that. If God made you, God made them. So if you're stealing from them, you're stealing from God. Think about it. Don't take advantage of somebody who God created. I'm just leaving that right there. So you have to make you're called to make a difference in your world. You're called to make a difference beyond your world. Galatians 6:1-3 says, live creatively, friends. Creatively. I like that word. Live creatively. Create reasons. Create a way. Even when you don't see a way, create. God made us to create. Just because something you don't see what's going on right now, just because all the jobs are closed, 2020 has shown us we are creative people. Yes. Create your job, create your avenue, create your success, create your business. All the businessmen closed, create what God calls you to do. I want to sell purses. Go ahead and create your purse thing. I want to create fragrances and sell perfume. Do it. God closed the door for you to create a way. So live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. I say that again. If someone falls into sin, doesn't go unwillingly, but falls into sin, forgivingly restore him or her, saving your critical comments for yourself. Because you might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. And if you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. So you are called to live not just in your world, but beyond your world. If somebody falls, restore them. Keep your comments to yourself. Stoop down and pick somebody else up. Those who are oppressed. Leads me to a side note. If somebody says that they're hurting, or somebody says that they're being oppressed, or somebody says that their rights are being restricted, don't try to explain it away. Listen to them. If I say my rights are being restricted, listen to me. I'm coming to you for a reason. Don't try to explain it away. Well, if you only did this, maybe that wouldn't happen to you. You don't understand. You need to walk a mile in my shoes for you to understand. But since you can't, I just need you to listen. Put the judgment away and put out your hand and help. I'm coming to you, or they're coming to you, because they see you have a way that can help. Amen? Share their burdens. Be an ally, they call it nowadays. Be an advocate. Go to your congressman. Go to your people. Go to the people in charge and say, you're not doing right. I hear what they're saying. I don't understand it, but I see it now, and I want to be an advocate. Share their burdens, and what you do, you're completing Christ's law. This is what would Christ do? He would do this. They had a band, those bands some time ago. What would Jesus do? WWJD, right? This is what Jesus would do when he sees this protesting on the street that Black Lives Matter. We don't go and say no, all lives matter. We are oppressed. We have a system of history of being oppressed. It is what it is. You may not like it. It is what it is. Listen and join with us as one body. This is what Christ would do. He will be on the side of the oppressed, helping them out of their oppression. Share the burdens. And if you think you're too good for that, you are badly deceived. Even if you don't have a lot, your little bit makes a much. Your little makes much. So, all right. You're called to make a difference in your world. You're called to make a difference beyond your world. And you are called to make a difference in the whole entire world. Romans 10, 17 and 18 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed, they have. For their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. That last verse is verse 18 again. But I ask, have they not heard? And indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So you are called to make a difference in the whole entire world. You may not be able to do it individually, but collectively as a body, we are called to make a difference throughout the entire world. I can't do this by myself. I can't do this alone. I need you. We need each other. Yes. I have a saying, each one reach one. I can't be able to reach the people in your family or the people in your circle, but you can. That's right. So we are called to reach out to the ones that are around us. And by doing so, as I'm reaching out to you and you're reaching out to them, we'll be able to reach the whole entire world, one person at a time. And sometimes we need to realize that our purpose is not just about fulfilling what we want to do or make ourselves happy or to make ourselves feel good or to make enrich ourselves. Because sometimes what we're called to do is something that gives us not just a paycheck, but a blessing. Amen? Because here's the thing. You'll never be satisfied making a dollar when your purpose is to make a difference. And Jesus, if we live our life to look to make a difference, we are patterning our lives after Jesus. Because Jesus didn't come to make a dollar. Jesus came to make a difference. Not just in the world that he was born in, but to beyond the world that he was born in. Because he didn't come just to be a Messiah for the Jews that were living in Jerusalem at the time that he came. But he came to be a savior for all of us. Like I said, God made a way for us before we were born. He did the same for Jesus. He made a way for us before Jesus was born. And Jesus is that way for us to get back to him, to get back to that relationship that God meant from the beginning, from the garden. He made a way for us to establish a relationship, to be in communion with him, to be together with him. Because of sin, the way got broken, the way got distracted, the way got rocks and hills and this big thing called death got in the way. But God sent Jesus down to be the way over the way, to be the way past death. So we can go past death, even though we have to go through death, we can get to him, to God, through Jesus. So God sent Jesus down on for us to go through him. He's the way to get back at the right relationship with him. And because of him, we can make a difference. Because of Jesus made a difference in our lives, we can make a difference in others. All we need to do is accept Christ into our hearts. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And we have the ABCs of salvation. Acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." B, believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." A, admit or acknowledge. B, believe. And C, confess. And we ask Christ into our hearts. He's open and willing to able to come in just the way you are and to save your soul. And not only does he care about your soul, but he cares about your life as well. And here, because he wants you to have life and have it to the full. He wants you to have an abundant life. So let's pray this prayer together. Repeat after me. So, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Kind Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for presenting your son to us, presenting your son as the way to get back to you. So we start this year off with a plan. We start this year off with a purpose, that we are made with a purpose on purpose. We start this year off accepting Christ into our hearts, so he may be able to present us, present the way to freedom, the way to find freedom, the way to make a difference, the way to be everything you've called us to do, to find our purpose and to walk into our purpose. The way to back to you, which leads us back to you, to lead us to a right relationship back with you. So Christ, we ask you to fill us, cleanse us, purify us, make us clean, make us new. We love you. We bless you. And we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, I need you to text me. I need you to communicate with you. I want you to text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in, A-L-L, to 609-831-3377. Thank you so much for joining with us. I love you. God bless you. Have a great new year.